We are called to social justice. But the key then in the wisdom is to make sure that terms change meaning over time and they're constantly moving so quickly. So what do we mean when we speak of things like social justice? The single greatest indicator of where God is in the middle of social justice will be the evidence and the clear indications of the fruit of the Spirit.
Welcome back to Live in the Light, listeners. We are continuing our important examination on what it means for humanity to be made in the image of God. It's a series we're calling Imago Dei, and today we look specifically at the topic of race. Now, this past year has especially been a struggle of race, as we have seen played out in many countries around the world. But as we understand history, racism has been long a struggle in this world. But God has something to say about race, and so about racism. In fact, what God has to say is the most important thing we need to be listening to. Once again, the image of God in all humanity teaches us a great deal about how we should and must see others from different backgrounds. Here's Pastor Robbie to explain more in today's message in Genesis 1, Imago Dei and race.
Immediately, as sin enters into the narrative of the scriptures, immediately among human beings, you have strife, you have division, you have hate, you have jealousy, you have comparison, and yes, you have murder. And it is sin, of course, that leads to racism. And racism is wickedness. Racism is hate. Racism ultimately is rooted in satanic pride. But this is where the gospel destroys racism. This is where, as John Piper says on the screen for you, he says, only the gospel of Christ, listen so carefully, only ultimately the gospel of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit severs the roots that feed racism. It doesn't take long for God in his word to start to indicate the promises, listen, of all nations that will ultimately be gathered to him in the end, that his gospel will reach every tribe, tongue, and nation. It's not long in the Bible. In fact, in Genesis 12, verse 3, God promises to bless the ethnic Jews, but so much more. To Abraham, he says, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. All the families of the earth shall be blessed. And this is a promise that is repeated over and over again all over the Old Testament, that the light of Messiah will come to reach the nations. The promises of the Gentiles being saved by Messiah, by Jesus Christ. Then we come to the New Testament. It's Simeon holding Jesus as a baby, and Simeon prophesies by the power of the Holy Spirit that Jesus will be light for revelation to the Gentiles. It's the ministry of Jesus himself who focuses on Jewish people initially. But of course, his love and grace extends to Canaanites, Samaritans, Greeks, and Romans. It was Jesus who gave some of his most shocking news to the Jews, indicating that he would save the Gentiles also. We don't need to think hard and understand the massive divide between Jew and Gentile in the first century. It was brutal. It was real. Racism was dripping between these parties, and especially from the Jews as they related outside of themselves. But the gospel comes in through Christ. And then the early church in Acts, and it begins to blow up the division that was formerly there. Incredible revelations are seen as the gospel breaks down the wall of hostility, reaching the Gentiles, and once again decimating the divide and beginning to bring powerful unity on earth and establishing forever the family of God. Again, ultimately understanding they descended from Adam and Eve under Jesus Christ, washed by his blood, coming together again. We're no longer things that used to divide, and they are united because they are brothers and sisters again in the Lord, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ together. It's just an awesome scene that unveils again in the book of Acts and throughout the New Testament. This is exactly why then Paul says in Galatians 3, verse 28 on the screen for you, he says this: there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free, neither male nor female. Why? For, listen, you are all one in Christ Jesus. Somebody say amen to that. I mean, it is just so powerful and so beautiful. Now listen, this verse is not teaching that ethnicities don't exist. This verse is not teaching that male and female don't exist. Of course they do. We know that. That's proven right here, right now. The context in Galatians is so abundantly clear. It's teaching that in the gospel, we are united in Christ. We become one, the oneness of Christ. Divisions are gone. It's teaching that the gospel destroys division. The gospel destroys prejudices. Listen, the gospel destroys racism. This is why H.B. Charles, he said that the gospel is race transcending. The gospel is race transcending. I love that. And H.B. commenting on Galatians 3:28, he says this on the screen for you. He says, the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ is a transcendent truth. It means by faith in Christ, we have a larger allegiance to anything in this world, including our ethnicity. Just think about that. Our allegiance is greater, is above anything of this world. I love this. He says, people say blood is thicker than water, but if that blood is baptism, it gets no thicker than that. That's good. And that's so true. Just look at that. Leave that up for a second. Listen, but if that blood is baptism, baptized in the one body, again, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, it does not get any thicker than that. See, it's the power of this truth that will begin to pummel our prejudices. And remember, the very word prejudice literally means to prejudge. The prejudice is people that are prejudging others. Maybe you just want to take a moment. I mean, we're so blessed. You just take a moment right now and just look around. I encourage you, be shy. Like, just look around, brothers and sisters in Christ, washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, oneness in Jesus, together in him, unity and unified because of what Christ has done. I mean, just consider that. Consider the picture right now that we are a part of. Everyone so loved again by the Lord. Those of us saved in the gospel, and I pray every person here would be in relationship with Jesus Christ and together in the family of God. What we have right here in this room right now again becomes a picture of one day soon, what will be in Revelation 5, verses 9 and 10, declaring with astounding beauty on the screen for you. And they sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain. Listen, and by your blood, you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Notice right there in those verses, notice the emphasis of racial and ethnic unity. Notice. It's the way God designed it. It's stunningly beautiful. It's immensely encouraging. It's wonderful. It's glorious. It's our Lord. Listen, only in the gospel of Jesus Christ are verses like Revelation 5, 9 to 10 even possible. Only by the gospel of Jesus Christ will we see such eternal fruit. And this becomes our past reality of where we've come from. It becomes our future reality and promise of where we're headed, right? So that's our past and future reality. Then it must become, church, it must become also our present resolve. If this is true in our past, and if this is guaranteed in our future of the way it's going to be because of the gospel, then it must impact us in the present. This must now be our present resolve because of what Jesus Christ has done for us and in us and to gather us as one. This leads us to our final point. I basically said it. Let me just say it this way. This truth must result in my transformation. And this truth must result in our transformation. So we know now what Imago Dei and race declares. We've heard the truth of what Imago Dei declares. But now we see what Imago Dei requires. What Imago Dei and in the gospel necessitates from our lives. Imago Dei requires action. It requires fruit. It must lead to transformation in us as individuals and then us corporately as men and women saved by Jesus Christ. I want to get very practical now to end this message. I think I'm praying that will be helpful to us, just even some action steps from here. I want to be so clear too. Obviously, a message like there's so much. Every message in this series, just every message, every topic could be a whole series in itself. And maybe that will come some time down the road. But for now, again, we're dealing what we can here as a biblical foundation. We want to know what God says about this, not what the world says about this. And so this is a start, and I pray that it's helpful. What can and what should we be doing? I have 7 points of application for you on the screen here as takeaways today as it relates to Imago Dei and race. Number one is this. Ask the Lord to open your eyes to your own selfish pride and or sinful prejudice. Sincerely, ask the Lord to open your eyes as to where we are selfishly, sinfully proud, or where we have sinned sinfully again in areas of prejudice. The wise man or woman will always approach their own heart with great suspicion. Psalm 139, David says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me." Church, here's what we know. Sin is always at work, and therefore repentance is always needed. Sin is always at work, so repentance is always needed. I wonder even right now, what sin would the Holy Spirit be exposing in our lives and hearts right now today? Even so far. Holy Spirit, what do you want us to hear from you? What do you want us to see? What sin would you reveal in us today as it relates to Imago Dei and race? And may we so quickly be led to repentance as the Holy Spirit whispers that to us and shows us those areas. And we start there. Every person does that. Look out. The power and the beauty and the wonder of unity that's created as individuals take account for themselves and come together corporately again as the body of Christ. Takeaway number 2. Develop deep friendships with those of different ethnicities. I love this so much. This could be one of the greatest and simplest forms of transformation here within us, within society. develop deep friendships with those of different ethnicities. John Piper, he said this on the screen. He says, one flesh and blood relationship with another ethnicity is worth 100 conferences and panels and books. I so agree. The power of proximity. Brian Laritz, he says this. He says, proximity breeds empathy. Proximity breeds empathy. Get close with people of other ethnicities. Love them. Listen to them. Engage. Fellowship. The power of deep relationships. And so many of us have this authentically now. Awesome. May it continue. Some of us don't. That has to change. It leads us into takeaway number three. Be quick to listen and slow to speak. Listen to other voices. Stop talking so much. Ask good questions. Specifically, ask about others' experiences of racism and prejudices. Ask them, how do you feel about this? Have you encountered this? What's your background been like? Let me gain insight into how you have grown up and how you see this world around you. Let's open the Bible together. Let's talk about these things. Listen, learn, and love. I think 2020 was a humbling year for so many in so many different ways. So many issues all at once. At times it just felt overbearing and overwhelming. Some of the things God taught me in 2020 is I held some incorrect assumptions of brothers and sisters. I thought I understood and I found out I didn't fully understand. I had incorrect assumptions. 2022, I also found out I had ignorance, things I just did not know and needed to be taught. And still that's happening. Praise the Lord. It's humbling. But wow, is it helpful? And it's beautiful. You know, that's beautiful. To weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. And to have such affection and to, again, to increase proximity and to love and to listen and to learn. I think it just blesses the Lord so much. Takeaway number four. Don't let the culture control the conversation on race. I get that from John Stone Street. Again, this is an intentional, foundational message. You can't get into all the different issues, but again, listen, our resource page is there for you with tremendous, again, helps and dives deep in many areas. I said this every week. I encourage you, take advantage of that. Spur on your learning. Use it as discussion. Resource page attached to our series on our website, okay? Don't let the culture control the conversation on race. Now, terms like social justice, everywhere in our day. Let me be clear about this. Christians are called 100% to be initiators of social justice. The Bible has so much to say about the defense of those experiencing injustice that we are called to come alongside, to help, to care for, to nurture, to love, to stand up for. As Christians, that's one of our great callings. I mean, the parable of the Good Samaritan, just in its essence right there. We are called to social justice. But the key then in the wisdom is to make sure that terms change meaning over time and they're constantly moving so quickly. So what do we mean when we speak of things like social justice? Let me just tackle it this way. You only got a couple seconds here. Let me tackle it this way though, okay? What is the single greatest indicator of social justice that God is within? How do we discern in our world where God is actively in the center of what is being called social justice? The single greatest indicator of where God is in the middle of social justice will be the evidence and the clear indications of the fruit of the Spirit. Wherever God is working, you will find the fruit of the Spirit within those, again, initiatives. everything that God does by his Spirit will always show the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So when you're in situations and there's forms of social justice happening where it's anti-fruit of the Spirit, you should be very careful. You should be very wise and discerning, because it's quite possible you have reason to be suspicious at that point. And God has given us the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and the love of God. He has given this to us, again, to lead this conversation. I read this week that Martin Luther King, he said this on the screen for you. He said this, one of his famous quotes, "Let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred. We must forever conduct our struggle on the high plane of dignity and discipline. We must not allow our creative protest to degenerate into physical violence. We must rise to the majestic heights of meeting physical force with soul force." That's powerful. That's a man rooted in Imago Dei and fueled again with a love for God and desire to do things according to the Holy Spirit. Takeaway number 5, expose your kids to other cultures and celebrate God's design diversity. Expose your kids and families to other cultures and celebrate God's design diversity. Listen, even in our living in the GTA in Toronto at this time, again, I've been surrounded by multiculturalism my entire life, but we can't take that for granted. Nor should we assume that, again, things are understood as they are. Be intentional with your kids in this regard. We have a massive opportunity right here again in our midst. Listen, there's a visual diversity, but one of the penetrating questions is there an actual diversity? So visually, praise God. But then is there an actual diversity? I mean, think of the opportunities right here in our church of intentionally, and you can just invite a family over to your home to experience and learn about different cultures, backgrounds, and the beauties of different ethnicities. That's able to do right here, right now, again, in so many different ways. By the way, let me just say this. When it comes to the last year of all this COVID stuff, it's so frustrating for me as Pastor Shepherd and so many in our church, because at a time you want to come together the most, we're being pulled apart physically in so many different ways. It's so frustrating at the time all these issues are being raised up. The ability to come together and to be in each other's homes and to fellowship and to show hospitality and to love each other and to hug. Man, I miss hugging. I want to hug so much. And just all these prohibitions against all this stuff, it drives me crazy. Yeah, I got a hug, man. It's how we're designed. And together with one another and to love each other in this way. Takeaway number 6, don't be a thermometer, be a thermostat. You see, what do you mean? Listen, anyone can take the temperature of Imago Dei and race. Anyone can take the temperature and say, this stinks or this and that. How about setting the temperature? How about being a thermostat? Every single one of us should not just agree with the doctrine of Imago Dei, but should be active in it. Ready? Here's the challenge. Every single life here right now should be an active agent of promoting the doctrine of Imago Dei fulfilled in the gospel. Every single person here right now should be evidencing fruit of some kind in the promotion of Imago Dei fulfilled in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every single person. How are we agents of change and love and unity? Because this truth necessitates this through Jesus Christ. All of us, every single one of us, everyone listening right now watching, should be bearing fruit because of the doctrine of Imago Dei. Final takeaway is this. Only the gospel of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit can sever the roots of racism. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ ultimately, by the power of the Holy Spirit, can sever the roots of racism. And just think right now, maybe one more takeaway, the Lord's Supper. There's a takeaway. right now. So what I want you to do is I just want you to, you can pack your stuff up if you need to. Just want you to try to be quiet as you do that. But just get yourself, prepare your heart ready right now to receive the Lord's Supper. It's been 3 months since we've done this corporately together. This is a very, very special moment. Just consider right now, loved ones, consider the power and the beauty of what we're about to do. Consider the meaning. Consider the unity. We celebrate communion together as commanded by Jesus Christ. Think of the depth in meaning. Because of the blood and body of Jesus Christ, we are saved, we are redeemed, we are one in Christ Jesus. Because of the blood of Jesus, listen, we are adopted into God's family. The power of adoption. All who hold the symbols today, listen, all who hold the symbols, we are family. And good theology knows that we are more family today rooted in Christ than any other biological family. That's the gospel. Let me say that again. In Christ, we are more family than any biological family will ever be. Because we're forever united eternally in Jesus Christ, washed with the blood. I encourage you today, often our eyes are closed and heads are bowed, as they should be in the reverence of the moment. But just take a moment as the song is being played and you hold the symbol. Look around a little bit. Look around at your family. Look around at your brothers. And look at the diversity, but feel the unity. Discipline yourself. Look around. Thank God. Praise Him. Hold in wonder the fact again that we are saved in Jesus Christ. Take this moment, man. Just drink it in. Be humbled by it. Celebrate the genius design of God and His glory that you have been found again to be a child of God by nothing that you've done. Everything that Jesus Christ has done as He died for your sins and rose from the dead to defeat death. Hold the symbols, look around, celebrate, and thank the Lord for His diversity, yet within that, the unity. Confess your sin. Repent of what needs to change, but believe God for something so much greater and so awesome. As you hold the symbols, just think one day we'll be joining the chorus of this reality, Revelation chapter 7 on the screen for you, verse 9. And after this, I looked and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands and crying out with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God, to Him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Hey, don't you see right now that the Lord's Supper is only for those who are believers in Jesus Christ? Like, how could an unbeliever celebrate the Lord's Supper and everything we've just learned? That's impossible. It's for those who are saved in Jesus Christ. What I encourage you to do is as this song is being played, you can open up, it's a little tricky to open up our communion packet, as the song is being played, open it up and getting ready, and then we can receive together. Let me just pray as we do that. Now, Father, I just pray this rich, rich theology, this incredible, beautiful gospel opportunity, the remembrance of Jesus Christ and what He did, the unity again of brothers and sisters here right now. Oh Lord, I pray You're using all of this to bring us together, to unite us, to further Your gospel, seeing the kingdom advance. And just right now, I pray for reverence, remembrance, for repentance, for reflection, for renewal. May it be so, Lord. Thank You for such an awesome moment like this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, certainly with a message like we have heard today from God's Word, there's bound to be some good, solid conviction. But with conviction, we hope that you also see the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ available to you today for those of you who would turn from your sin and find Jesus Christ and His forgiveness again today. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. We recognize that here at Live in the Light. And listen, if God's been changing you and growing you or even challenging you, particularly today, and you'd like a copy of today's message to let that soak a little more, we'd encourage you to visit us online at liveinthelight.ca, liveinthelight.ca. And hey, while you're there, why not drop a comment and let us know how we can be praying for you. Well, that's all for today here at Live in the Light. We hope to see you next time, and God bless.